All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Hobo Frank, Chris Sill in studio here with our engineer Douglas. And Frank has a little information on the Dudley Scholarship event that was held last week. Frank?
Yeah, the Dudley Award Banquet was last week, and incredibly well done. I attended. Lane Casadante was the MC. He had taken over a couple of years ago from Mr. Mike O'Toole, who always did a great job. Just wanted to give a shout out to the Bill Dudley Scholarship Committee. They selected a terrific young man, this Keith Anderson from Thomasdale High School. Enjoyed sitting at the table with his parents and meeting the young man, and I think he's going to go a long way in life. Terrific kid, and just a high five all the way around. All right, I think we have Christopher Horn, the Sabre recruiting guru analyst, and always has been a terrific contributor on Who's Talking. Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, so fast and furious. You ready to go?
I am. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, let's see. Let's talk about the big issue. This year's class, we're talking about the class of 2015. For UVA football. These young men have made verbal commitments to this point, and then National Signing Day will occur in early February. However, there's been some news in recent days in that linebacker C.J. Stalker and offensive lineman Grant Polk have both signed scholarship papers, and they're going to enroll in January.
That's true. I know. Well, I spoke with CJ last week, and he made his official visit to Virginia, or visited Virginia recently, and signed his scholarship papers while on the visit. Now, the difference is, you know, the letter of intent is binding for the recruit, but the scholarship papers, even though, you know, it kind of makes it official, and the coaches can talk about the recruits, which they can't do otherwise, talk about them publicly, the recruit still has the option of leaving and going somewhere else. So C.J. Stalker is a linebacker out of Ohio. He's going to come in. He's going to compete for time at that middle linebacker spot that Henry Coley played so well this year. Obviously, Coley's moving on, and you know, Micah Kaiser's in. He's currently on the roster right now, but you know, Virginia has Stalker coming in, and he's a 6'3", 230-pound kid that has been in touch with John Tenuta for a long time. And, you know, it seemed like certainly he was one of Coach Tenuta's top targets for that position. So, you know, that extra spring practice, you know, maybe it'll give him some experience. And I wouldn't be surprised if that helps him at least see the field next year, give him some depth. And then you mentioned Grant Polk out of Florida, 6'6", about 285-pound offensive tackle. Didn't start playing football really till high school, and then started focusing on football full time after his sophomore year. He was also playing baseball, but a good looking prospect. Now, with the news with Coach Scott Wackenheim this past weekend heading to VMI, he seems like he's a little bit unnerved about that. We'll see if that leads to anything, but he has signed his scholarship papers, and his plan was to, you know, was and I assume is to enroll next month as well. But we'll see what happens with, you know, with the news with Coach Wackenheim moving on.
All right. Good point. And by the way, we wish Coach Wackenheim, you know, a real tip of the hat. I thought he made the most of this past season with all the injuries. I thought he did a good job of keeping the offensive line improving, and they did get better, and they were undermanned. Just too many guys got hurt. So we wish him well, and we hope he does well at VMI. And I'm pretty certain the VMI faithful will like Coach Wackenheim. He's a great guy, good stand-up guy. All right. Positions of need in this class. What did UVA hope to obtain or get to players to commit this year? What positions?
Well, I think just adding more depth really was a big kind of a general key, I think. You certainly look at running back, I think needed some depth. Virginia has two players at the running back position, one who's kind of like an all-purpose type of back, Olamide Zaccheaus out of Philadelphia, kind of all-purpose in the mold of a Smoke Mizell in terms of that he can line up in the backfield, he can line up in the slot receiver. He does that for his high school right now, so that should be a pretty seamless transition for him as far as Coach Fairchild's system. And then Christopher Sharp out of New Jersey is a bigger back, which I think Virginia could have used. You know, could use another one of those guys. And 6 foot, 205 pounds out of Princeton, New Jersey, Had a really big senior year. A very productive senior year. A lot of teams liked him as a linebacker, but Virginia wants him as a running back. So I think they added some depth there. Tight end. To me, one of the biggest needs was tight end, and Virginia added two good prospects: Tanner Cowley out of New Jersey and Richard Burney Jr. out of Chesapeake, Virginia. I'm not sure if those guys are going to be ready to play right away next year, and I think that's a position where Virginia could use some more depth. So that could be a position that, there's a player out of New Jersey, a Jake Picard, who was a Wisconsin commit. Wisconsin, obviously, coaching change with their coach moving to Oregon State. That could be a possibility. He could be a kid that I see as a guy who could potentially step in as a true freshman and really play. So I wouldn't be, Virginia is still kind of looking for some of those guys. I think, the offensive line, assuming Grant Polk, stays and does enroll, I think they've done a pretty nice job there. They've landed four prospects. I wouldn't be surprised to see Virginia continue to add depth. And you mentioned with the injuries, that's just a position, whether it's injuries or guys just not panning out. Is this a position you just want to add as much depth to as possible and then hope that some of these guys transition on the next level? Because that is really a tough position to project, as far as how they're going to do from high school to college. But I think Virginia got some solid kids there. And then just, adding more depth to the front
Chris,
seven. Yeah, sure, go ahead, Frank.
So R.J. Proctor is one of the commits, 6'4", 320 from Warrenton, Virginia. Eli Handback, 6'4", 270 from Patrick Henry right here in Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
And who is the fourth?
Ryan Bischoff, player out of Pennsylvania. Yep.
All right. So Bischoff is one of the first guys to commit. As a group, how would you rate these linemen, starting with Polk, collectively as a group? Will they help the offensive line?
I think Polk is the top guy, headliner of this class. And he's a guy with, again, he didn't play football until he told me he didn't play football. He was always too big, so he couldn't play football until he reached high school. Was dabbling in baseball and then took off for football, and things have just gotten better. He had an offer from Mississippi State, so he had some other some pretty big offers. He's kind of, especially if he comes and he gets that spring practice experience, I think that's going to be big for him. And he's a guy that I could see, given that experience, you get that, it's not just the practices, you get the weight room and everything to get stronger and get taste of college, and just everything just prepares you a little bit better. He's a guy that I could see coming in. Eli Handback, mentioned local product out of Patrick Henry, who had a nice resurgent year this year, made the playoffs. But certainly I think, he's a guy that could play defensive tackle, could play offensive line. He's probably a guy that I wouldn't expect to see time this year. You just want to see how he does in the offseason. Ryan Bischoff's got the size to come in. He's 6'5", 300 pounds. We'll see how he does. He's not enrolling early, though, like Polk is. And then R.J. Proctor, good season at Liberty this year, but a guy that may need some time as well as far as just getting into major college shape. So Grant Polk would be the guy I would look to as a guy who could potentially play right away. And there's still some time left before signing day, perhaps add another player there or two at the position. So we'll see what happens.
And is there or are there any uncommitted offensive linemen that Virginia has got an offer extended or is in contact with? Because I went scrolling through a number of sites, and I didn't see very many offensive linemen that hadn't already committed.
Right, yeah, a lot of them are committed, but a lot of times, especially, the names can just kind of pop up, whether it's a guy who's committed somewhere else that may be looking around, kind of like Eric Tetlow did as a Wake Forest commit, last second switch to UVA, which not many people saw coming. But certainly he's a kid out of Mills Godwin. Stuff like that, that's what makes the final. These days there are a lot of kids are committed, so most of the class is still full, but there's still that excitement where guys are looking around and surprises happen. But at this point, there's no definitive targets. A lot of the targets out there that are known are receivers. It looks like Virginia certainly wants a receiver. They want to add another defensive end. It appears defensive end, outside linebacker type. Certainly with Eli Harrell moving on, it'd be nice to get a you know, if they could get a big-time kid like a Ricky DeBerry who's committing on Friday, that would be at Atlee, that would be huge for Virginia. But
Hold on. Let's talk about Ricky DeBerry.
Yep.
A lot of injuries. He changed schools. He left St. Christopher's, went to Atlee.
Mm-hmm.
Prototypical size. Is this guy ready for college football, A? And B, what's with all the scholarship offers based upon all the games he's missed?
Well, it certainly speaks to, you know, what the college level thinks of his potential. And, I think he's got a lot of – you mentioned he's obviously injuries, have been a little bit of a question mark, had some injury, this year at Atlee and at St. Christopher's as well, but a guy with a lot of talent. And if he can stay healthy, certainly would be a guy who has a potential. And just looking at him physically, physically he definitely looks the part. You look at him, you're like, wow, major college written all over him right there. 6'3", rock solid, 245 pounds. A guy who, with the injuries, might be nice to give him a redshirt year just to make sure he's fully healthy and ready to go. But at the same time, a guy with the talent, the athletic talent and the size, where if he gets, gets to a place and he learns the system and he could be ready to go. Maybe kind of give him some leeway there, and then he could be a guy that plays right away. But So it'll be interesting. A lot of people think he's heading out of state. If he does stay in state, I would say Virginia's going to be the pick. But a lot of Alabama, Michigan State, Oklahoma, Penn State, Tennessee, Texas A&M are the out of state schools he's looking at. So. A lot of people think he's leaving the state. We'll see what happens on Friday at 10 a.m.
You never know. Well, linebacker is a position you and I have talked about on the air many times and quite a bit off the air. Virginia got a huge recruit in Giovanni Simmons, 6'1", 230, coming in from Ocean Lakes. How would you grade him?
I think Giovanni kind of reminds me a little bit of Henry Coley. Coley coming out of he went to Bayside. He wasn't all. I mean, Giovanni had more notoriety in terms of notice from the recruiting services, and he had more scholarship offers than Henry Coley did. But as far as both of those guys are real leaders for their teams. Neither one, I think, has, you look at them and say, hey, they have blazing speed, but they both kind of have a good feel for the game, play that middle linebacker spot. It'll be interesting with Giovanni to see if, what happens with C.J. Stalker. If C.J. comes in and really does really well at the middle linebacker spot, I wouldn't be surprised if Giovanni got a look at another linebacker spot. But certainly a guy that is, you think of, and his coach is raved about his leadership of the team. What's also big is he came up big in the biggest games. Had an interception against Oscar Smith last week, and then I thought he had a pretty solid game against Centerville this past Saturday at UVA, which was for the 6A state championship, which Ocean Lakes went on to win. So, he's a guy that the speed of the game, it'll be interesting. That's kind of the question mark, how he's going to adjust to that. But in terms of of his toughness and ability to stop the run, but most of all, leadership of the team, he's a good character kid. I think he's going to help. Those things are all pluses for him.
I think looking at this is Chris Sill, by the way. Chris, thanks for joining us. It's Chris Horn from thesaber.com, recruiting analyst. there's one quarterback that's in the group for 2015, mm-hmm. Nick Johns. No relation to Matt Johns. Listeners, tell us a little bit about Nick Johns.
Yeah, well, he's another kid. He's a good leadership. I think is big. He carries himself like a leader. He's got, but you look at him. He's another physically impressive kid. He's about 6'3", 215 pounds. He's a kid who can run the ball. He did that at Gonzaga. He's a guy that when UVA does that read option, this year. I know a lot of UVA fans who are wondering where the option was and the read option, because most of the time UVA would be handing the ball off. But he's a guy that certainly can get that and take and run. He's a tough runner. He's not like a speed burner, although he's got pretty solid speed. But he's a kid who is physically so strong that he can take off and get some yards. Heading into this season, I think the biggest question mark with him was accuracy passing the ball. I think he did. He had a very good senior season, and in terms of completing passes and things like that. And we'll see. I mean, obviously Virginia. I think if the big thing for Virginia is if Lambert and Johns can continue to develop. And you have some of the younger guys, Brendan Marshall, Corwin Cutler. We'll see. And I know a lot of people are excited about Cutler as well from last year. So Johns, I think he'll have the benefit of coming in and learning the playbook. But he's also he's a confident kid. He's coming in. And he's looking to compete for possibly some playing time. So, but again, a kid with he's got a lot of confidence. He's a kid who's got the physical tools, and it's just a matter of how he adapts to reading defenses and things like that. I think he had a great senior season, certainly, so that's a step in the right direction, and we'll see if he can continue that into the college level.
Chris, we thank you as always. We're going to give you the opportunity to go out and get our Christmas presents now, and I know you want to do right by the three of us sitting here. But at any rate, as always, we thank you for the information, and clearly we're going to have you back on probably a couple of times, maybe more, between now and the signing date in February for updates relative to what's going on.
Thanks for having me as always, guys, and happy holidays to you all.
All right, Chris Horn from thesaber.com. We're going to go to our final break. We come back, we still got the Olympic report. We've touched upon some of the things, but Chris Sill will get us the full Olympic report, and we'll talk about next week's show and other information. Stay tuned. Who's Talking will return.